mine. She's taken. So, hey, welcome to Bethel, man. We're so glad you're here. It's always fun to come hang out on a Sunday morning. So, we have actually spent the last 3 weeks. Hey, y'all give me some lights out there so I can see who I'm preaching to. I like to look you folk in the eye when you get convicted by the Holy Spirit. Oh, so, man, we spent the last 3 weeks discussing the topic of eternity. We've been talking about how all of us at some point in our life, we have to wrestle with this thought of eternity. You know, we get caught up in routines and daily stuff, and we think, you know, I got to get up and go to work, and I'm going to live this life. But the actual reality is this, that we are created to be eternal beings, and that once our life on this earth is over, our 70, 80, or 90 years, we're going to live for eternity. And we have two choices if we're going to believe the word of God. There's two choices of where we'll spend eternity. We'll either spend eternity in heaven with Jesus, or we'll spend eternity in hell separated from the goodness of God. And so today, we're going to close out this series with a discussion about heaven. I've heard of heaven. How many of you have heard people preach and talk about heaven forever? I did. I was excited. I want to go there someday. And so it's exciting to me. Like, I'm really excited about this message. I'm excited to talk about what Scripture shows us heaven will be like. And so I'm going to do my best to slow down and teach you some stuff today. It's not in my nature, but I'm going to try to do that. So we're going to read lots of Scripture. So if you're a note taker, I would encourage you, write down these Scriptures that we're going to read. You can read them throughout the week, and they'll just help you focus a little bit. So what we're going to do is we're going to be in Revelation chapter 1. We're going to start in verse number 9. You can turn there, scroll there. It'll be on the screen. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9. I'm going to pray first, and then we're going to read the Scripture and see what the Lord would say to us. So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the hope of eternal life in heaven, where there is no sadness, where there is no sorrow, where there is no tear dimmed eye. Thank you, Father, that we have hope beyond our life on this earth. And so, Lord, I pray today you would anoint me to read the Word of God. You would anoint me to preach the Word of God. And I pray, God, your Spirit would come and open ears and make hearts receptive to hear this. Let us leave here changed. Let us leave here with a different perspective of heaven and what's taking place in heaven. Lord, we love you. We bless you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse number 9. It says, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, I was on the island called Patmos on the account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. And the voice said, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and Laodicea. John says in verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. Write, therefore, these things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. I love this story. I love the opening of the book of Revelation because it tells of John, this man named John. John was John the disciple, later known as John the apostle. He described himself as the disciple that Jesus loved the most. This guy had walked with Jesus. This guy had seen Jesus walk on water. This guy had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. He saw Jesus himself be raised from the dead. He was at the foot of the cross when Jesus died. This man, John, was a man full of faith. And the Bible says later in his life that he was exiled to this island called Patmos. The island of Patmos was like a rocky island. It had no trees. It had no vegetation. And he was exiled out to this island because he wouldn't quit preaching the word of God. I love that about this guy. It was almost like he was being placed in prison, but worse, because he was by himself. He would ultimately die out there of hunger. There was nothing to eat. Nothing was living on this island. He has every right to be depressed. He has every right to be upset. He has every right to feel sorry for himself. Why is this happening to me? All I did was proclaim the good news. I don't deserve to be put out here on this island, but I love the attitude that John had. And it said in Revelation 1 that it was on the Lord's day and he was in the Spirit. I love the Lord's day. I love to celebrate on the Lord's day. It's Sunday. It's Sabbath. He didn't have a phone. He didn't have a calendar, but something inside of him said, this is the Lord's day, and this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. And he chose to worship God in the middle of a struggle that day. Can I challenge you? I know you're facing some stuff, and I know life sucks sometimes, and I know you may not deserve what you're going through, but just know this, God is still on the throne, and he is bigger than your problems, and he's bigger than your situations. Lift up your eyes unto the hills, unto where your help comes from, and if you will draw near to God, God will draw near to you. John is out by himself. Chooses to worship God, and Jesus shows up. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. How many of you thank God you're in a Spirit-filled church this morning? Come on, somebody. And can I give you a little extra something this morning? Don't come to church to get filled up with the Spirit. Come to church full of the Spirit. Oh, come on, y'all. If everybody shows up, can I be real with y'all 11 o'clock today? If everybody shows up and go, I'm on the island of Patmos, my life ain't no good right now, and I don't have the Spirit of God, and everybody shows up on Sunday morning, and they're empty wanting me and Connor and everybody here to give enough Spirit for thee to be full, I'm going to tell you what, you'll suck the life out of this place. But if you take on the attitude of John and go, you know what? I'm going to the house of the Lord today. And that's my family, and that's my church, and that's the place I get fed. And you know what? I'm going to contribute. I'm bringing the Spirit of God in this place. And 700-800 people bring the Spirit of God in this place. We'll have revival like you ain't never seen. John is on Patmos. It's the Lord's day. He's in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, this voice of a trumpet behind him. And he turns around, and the Son of Man, Jesus, is standing there himself. And Jesus says to him, hey, John, I want you to get out your pen, and I want you to write down what you're fixing to see. The book of Revelation is the revealing. Jesus said, I'm going to reveal to you, John, what heaven looks like. I'm going to reveal to you what's going to take place in the future. Get your book out and start writing this all down. And so here's this epic moment, John and Jesus, and he's got his pad out, and he's ready to write down this revelation. Let's skip to Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. After this, and behold, a door. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Can you imagine? Can you imagine there's a door, and Jesus is going, John, come into the door. I'm going to show you what this is like. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me was like a trumpet. And the voice said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Wow, John looks, the door opens up, and he goes in, and there's a great white throne. The throne is the central focal point of heaven, and the throne is where God Almighty himself sits. It is so bright and so glorious. It's like all of these beautiful gems and these beautiful stones, and there's a rainbow behind it. Come on, somebody. How many of you know we're taking the rainbow back? Come on, somebody. The rainbow is a gift from God. Oh, just saying. The beautiful, beautiful throne. John sees the throne. He sees God sitting on the throne, the rainbow behind it. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll, a book, written on the inside and on the outside, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open this scroll and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. John says, and I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into the book. The scroll, it was the revelation. It was the revealing of the future. It was the revealing of heaven. John is there. He's on the island of Patmos. He's worshiping. Jesus shows up, takes him through the door into heaven. He gets there and he's ready to open the scroll. There's anticipation. There's excitement. And they're like, oh, but nobody here is worthy to open the scroll. Man, it just went from doing, oh, I'm so excited, to, oh, dang, I'm not going to get to see what's inside these contents. And all of a sudden, it went from happy and anticipation and excitement to sadness and sorrow and crying. But, everybody say but. How many know God's butt's bigger than your butt? Nobody could open the scroll. It's this crescendo, this moment. And Revelation 5:5 says this, and one of the elders said to me, weep no more, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. Come on, somebody. When the world says nobody can do it, and when the world says it can't be open, all of a sudden steps in the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that defeated death, hell, and the grave, the one who is worthy. He shows up and says, I can open the scrolls. And he opens it up. And they begin to read. Jesus shows up and the whole atmosphere shifts. Revelation 5, 8 through 14. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp. Let me just stop right there and say this. If you were curious if there were going to be instruments in heaven, here is your answer, okay? Sorry, Church of Christ folk. Missed it on that one. Each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, language, people, and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. And they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. I heard the voice of many, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. And they're saying in unison with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and they worshiped. The whole book of Revelation is a revealing of what it will be like in heaven. And when John gets up to heaven, here's what he sees, a worship scene. It's a worship scene. Everyone gathered around the throne. What did the worship look like when we get to heaven? Can I tell you right off the bat? The Bible says they were worshiping God with a loud voice. Worship is going to be loud in heaven. Just so you know. Loud in heaven. And then there's unity in worship. There's every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. There's Baptists, there's Methodists, there's Assemblies of God, there's even some Catholics. There's everybody gathered together, and they're worshiping God, and they're not arguing over worship style, and they're not arguing over contemporary worship or traditional worship. They're not arguing whether it's a hymn or not a hymn. They're not arguing about doctrine. They're there to celebrate the blood of Jesus Christ and the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. They get together, and there is unity in worship. How good is that going to be, y'all? And you know what else? This will probably tick some of y'all off. They sing a new song. It's not going to be Amazing Grace, okay? It's not going to be victory in Jesus. It's a new song. I don't know it. They're playing harps. They're playing trumpets. It's loud. Everybody is getting together. The scene in heaven is worship. Which brings me to the topic of discussion today. So if you're a timekeeper, start time right now. We're going to talk about worship. How many of you love praise and worship? Sorry, Connor, where you at, dog? I mean, like 30 people like praise and worship. Praise and worship. The scene in heaven is worship, man. I just think about this. Of all the things, God is in control in heaven. God is in charge, and God gets to choose what you and I will do throughout all eternity. Can I tell you, us preachers are going to preach, have preached ourselves out of a job. There'll be no preaching in heaven. There'll be no praying in heaven because we're in the presence of the one that we pray to. There'll be no preaching. There'll be no praying. There'll be no Bible reading because Jesus is the Word of God, and there he is. And God says, the one thing that matters to me the most and the one thing that moves my heart that I love is worship, and God chooses for you and I to worship in eternity forever. So cool. Jesus, if you read the scripture, Jesus already showed us the importance of worship in our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. We know this is the Lord's Prayer. The disciples go to Jesus and they say, man, we love the way you pray. Can you teach us to pray like you do? Jesus says, okay, I will. Matthew 6, verse 9. Jesus says, pray then like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There's one phrase in that prayer right there, how Jesus taught us to pray. He taught us to pray like this. Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, God, not my will. It's not what Cody wants. It's not what Cole wants. It's not what Jennifer wants. Your will be done. So what is the will of God in heaven? Worship. And if his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then you and I should live lives of worship. You and I should live lives of worship. We're going to talk about worship a little bit. Worship means to honor. Worship means to revere, to pay homage to. To exalt someone. And I'm going to say this right quick. We're going to talk about worship in church, but can I tell you that worship is a lifestyle more than a 20-minute segment on your Sunday morning day. Worship is a lifestyle. Like, we're going to worship God here, and how many know we're blessed by the worship team that we got? Come on, somebody. You know what? But worship is more. If you only worship God 20 minutes a week, you are missing out on living inside the will of God. And when you and I live in the middle of the will of God, that's when God will show up and his blessings will flow in our life. It's more than just worship is a lifestyle. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Present your body, present yourself, all of you, everything that you have, present it unto God, which means we're giving God our worship. Worship is more than the 20 minutes we sing on Sunday morning. Our lifestyle should be filled with worship. And that will start out with this. Our lives should reverence God. Our daily lives, our relationships. How many of you are thankful for the relationships that you have? I love my wife. Sometimes I would like to choke my wife. Can I hear a good amen? But I love my wife. And I'm going to tell you something. In our marriage should reflect worship turned towards God. We should look at each other and love each other and go, you know what? You are totally different than me, and I am totally different than you. But the steps of good men and women are ordered by the Lord, and God has brought me and Jennifer together to be the pastors of this church and to be the parents of our children. And so I should look at her and worship everything. People that are around us should be able to look at our marriage and say, that marriage exalts and honors God. Can I tell you how you need to raise your kids? Don't raise your kids according to the system. Don't raise your kids according to culture. Don't raise your kids according to the way that you were raised. Raise your kids according to the Word of God. Your kids will not be perfect. Your kids will make some mistakes, but people should be able to look at the way that you conduct your family and raise your children and say that honors and reveres God. Everything, our relationships, our friendships, when we're punching cows, when we're doing what we're doing, when we're coaching, when we're in the beauty shop, our lives should reflect God and honor and show worship towards Him. When we learn this and understand this, I get it. Sometimes life stinks. Can I hear a good amen? And you say, Cody, yeah, but my marriage ain't always good. And Cody, my children wear me out sometimes. And Cody, this job that I've got, I'm telling you, it will change the atmosphere when you quit whining about what's not going right. Look at the life of John. He's in the middle of a struggle, but he chose to worship God. And Jesus showed up. You need the Lord to show up in your life. Change your heart. Change your mind. Change your worship. Because let me ask you this. What do you worship? What do you worship the most? Is it your reputation? Is it your skills? Is it your career? Is it your job? Worship God. Everything we do should. I love praise and worship on Sunday mornings. Like, I'll be honest with you, and no preacher in his right mind would ever say this, but I'm going to say it because you know I ain't in my right mind. Come on, somebody. When I first started going to church with Jennifer and kind of started trying to seek the Lord, I'll be honest with you, praise and worship on Sunday morning moved me more than the preaching did a lot of times. I didn't understand it, man. I mean, like, I'm a tough cowboy, by God, you know? And we're singing these songs, and they're worshiping, and my eyes are leaking, and I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And it was like the Lord was working on me and changing my heart and transforming me. I'm just saying, it's powerful when we choose to worship. Now, can I be real with y'all? If we really understand the greatness of God, if we really understand our eternal destination, if we really understand that Jesus died and shed the blood to forgive us and redeem us and make us a new creation, if we really understand that Jesus is our only hope, if we really understand, why does Connor have to try to draw worship out of you every Sunday morning? Why does Connor? Man, we are so blessed with this right here. We are so blessed with the people and the talents and the gifts and the sound system and everything that we've got. And every week, Connor gets up and he goes, can y'all please clap? Come on, y'all, let's clap. But you don't want to clap at church, but you was clapping over some stupid high school football game on Friday night. Or you was at the rodeo on Saturday night, or you was at the dance and you was clapping. Why? It's because the enemy understands that when we turn our hearts towards worship and we don't watch others worship, but we participate in worship with everyone, the enemy knows there's power in that, so he'll try to get us not to worship God. We put our hands, y'all know what I'm talking about. Power in worship. We got to understand that it's a privilege to worship God. Let's do a quick study on praise and worship for Sunday morning, okay? Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with a thankful heart. Can I challenge you on something? Some of y'all, you just need to sing a little bit. Look at me. Look. We know you can't sing. Neither can I. But you were singing, driving down the pickup, and they're singing to the top of your voice, the shaboozy or some kind of junk like that. Why not sing for the Lord? Hey, you know what? I can't sing. I've been wanting to be on the worship team for 25 years, and they said, no, you are done. You cannot sing, but you know what I finally decided? You know what they say, Cody, it's this key, and Cody, it's this chord. And I say, I don't know nothing about no keys. All I know is this, I'm singing praise to God, and by the time it gets from here to heaven, I believe it's going to be transferred to the correct key. Come on, somebody. Sing. Sing to the Lord. It does something in your body. It does something in the atmosphere when we choose to sing with thankful hearts. Singing to God brings gladness. Psalm 100. Verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Now, how many of you have ever showed up on Sunday morning and you're like, by God, I ain't singing today. I ain't in the mood. She been on my butt all the way from Stanford to church over here. And she's mad at, how many know the devil works overtime on Sunday mornings? Can I hear a good amen? He's like, I ain't singing. I don't like, here's what else to do. I don't like that song. I ain't singing that song. But all of a sudden, rosin' up the bow, baby, and start playing the happy song, and that rosin's flying off that bow, and they're clapping, and you're standing there like this, and then all of a sudden you go like this. You start patting your foot just a little bit. And you're like, sing to the Lord. And you start, I mean, almost like when you just choose to worship God and when you choose to sing, it brings some gladness to you. And the gladder you get, is that a word it is in homeschool? The gladder you get, the more you start to get not care, and the gladder you get, and the more you start praising, worshiping God and singing and participating in worship will bring gladness to your life. And then you know what else it'll do? It'll bring some joy to your life. And some of you, you need some joy in your life. Philippians 4:4, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Golly, praise and worship gives me joy. And you know what the Bible says about joy? It says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy, that you know what? How many of you grew up singing and there was not much joy in the songs you sang and the way you sang it? Out of the Broadman hymnal, come on somebody. With a piano and an organ, you know what I'm saying? I'm just teasing because Jennifer loves all that. But you know what? There's joy in singing out of the hymnal. There's joy in singing a cappella. There's joy in singing with a full band. There is joy when you and I say, I'm going to have a glad heart and I'm going to worship God with everything that's within me. It doesn't matter the style. It matters if we choose to enter into worship, to praise God. Man, I just tell you, there's so much. I'll tell you quickly, like, I like worship hot, fast, and loud. That's my style. And, you know, I want the hearse sawing on the fiddle, and I want Darren tearing it up on the guitar, and Will on the drums, and Jesse on the bass. Like, that's what I want. I want it balls to the wall. I just do. And then there's some of you that are softer than me. And you want to have this moment. You don't want it to be real loud, and you don't want it to be real fast. And so here's the deal. There is a time for it to be balls to the wall, and there's a time for it to be intimate as well. And we can't say that this is the only way, and this is the only way. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and there's freedom for some of you softies to get a little rowdy for the Lord, and there's freedom for some of us loud ones to settle down and just be in the presence of God. Worship. It's what God has chosen for us to do throughout all eternity in heaven. Our lives in general should be a lifestyle of worship. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Conrad and worship team, would y'all come help me close? I want to say this to you today. Worship is God's will for yours and my life. And it's a lifestyle, not just something you do on Sunday mornings. So here's the deal. When I was a kid, we grew up roping calves. When I was a little boy, we always wanted to go to the rodeo, to the big show. Couldn't wait for the weekend, Saturday night, go rope in front of everybody. But my daddy used to say, and my granddaddy used to say this, if you're going to go to the rodeo, you better get your butt to the practice pen and practice hard enough. Practice and work hard before you go to the big show. Do you know what God has given us an opportunity to do while we're living on earth? Practice worship so that when we get to the big show, we can enter into worship with everybody around the throne. That's what worship does. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a minute. And I want to just challenge you. I want to challenge every one of you that's here today to focus right now. Maybe it's just to refocus. Focus on the Lord. You say, oh, Cody, this job is wearing me out. Well, you know what? There's a lot of people that don't have a job, so praise God for the job you got. I'm going to honor God in my job. Cody, my marriage is struggling right now, and I'm not living where I want to live, and I don't have the finances that I want. Stop. Stop being that way. Worship God. Focus on God. Everything, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father up above. Focus on God. We're going to close with a couple of worship songs today. And I'm going to challenge some of y'all, and I'm being really, really real with you today. I want to challenge some of you to sing today. To sing. Don't try to sing loud where everybody can hear you. Just sing. Open your mouth. Give God the fruit of your lips. Sing to the Lord. Some of you today, it won't hurt you to clap just a little bit. Participate. That's all I really want you to do, is participate in worship. We've seen in the Bible where heaven was opened up, where they're worshiping around the throne. They're singing, they're clapping, they're playing their harps. Let's do the same thing right now today, because my prayer is that today you will choose to enter into worship for the first time. Maybe you'll choose to enter into worship a little bit deeper than you have previously, but that through this worship experience here, it will be a catalyst that will change you in the morning. That in the morning when you wake up, you'll go, you know what? I'm going to worship and honor God in all that I do today. Today is not about me. I'm not going to focus on the negative. I'm going to worship God. My lifestyle is going to change. Make it happen. Let worship be your heart. And it will change the atmosphere that you live in. So, as you stand on your feet, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close with some songs of worship. Father, we love you and we thank you for today. Thank you for this moment, and thank you for this place where we can come and gather together to worship God. Thank you for this place where we can come and lift up your name. It's a place that is a secure place. It's a place that is away from the trouble and the struggles of this world. We can come in here and worship you, and we believe according to your word that when we worship you, your presence comes, and your presence brings fullness of joy, and your presence brings peace that passes all understanding. In your presence, the miraculous can take place. So I pray today, God, as we close out in worship, that some people would focus and they would go further and deeper than they've ever done before. And in that moment, God, I pray you would do something supernatural in their hearts, in their lives. Jesus, we give you glory. Jesus, you are the one that is worthy. You are the only one that's worthy enough to open those seals. Jesus, you are the one that loved us when we were unlovable. Jesus, you are the one that left your home in heaven and came down upon this earth. You are the one that allowed yourself to be crucified on the cross. You are the one that shed the blood, that's forgiven all of us. You are the one, Jesus, that was buried in that tomb, and on the third day the stone was rolled away and you came out alive forevermore with the keys to heaven and the keys to hell. Jesus, you are worthy. And God, let us not be afraid to shout to you. Let us not be afraid to worship you with every bit of our hearts. Lord, let us present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We pray you would accept our worship today. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, stand up.